And Father, that when we were weak and unable to do anything for ourselves, that you sent your Son, Jesus. And through dying on the cross, he provided our way to be able to come to the table. We look forward to the day when we'll gather around your table in heaven. We thank you for that privilege, and we look for it in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning, to have another opportunity to worship the living Lord and Savior. You may have guessed that we're going to talk about fishing this morning. You know, for some of you, you probably already know the majority of you, but for a lot of you that may be here and don't, for 7 years I pastored in South Louisiana. During that time, I was a commercial fisherman. And use that as a means to be able to get into the community and be able to share the gospel in a different way. But it also helped me to gain an appreciation for some passages in the Bible, like the passage that we're going to look at today. Because I want you to understand, when Jesus taught, what Jesus did was he used the illustrations of life that were going on around him, because he knew that that would connect with the people. You see, he talked about vineyards because there where he was at, they had vineyards. He talked about fishing because where they were at, there were a number of people who made their living by fishing. He talked about things that everyday people could identify with. And so, as we look at this today, I've titled the sermon, Fishing 101. Now, in case you aren't familiar with the way college courses are numbered, if it's got the 101 after it, that means it's a general survey class. We're starting at the bottom, so I'm hoping not to go over anybody's head. I will tell you from my experience in college, some professors are not that generous. But if I go over your head today, then I've missed out on what I'm trying to do. And so let's begin just by reading the passage, starting in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. It says, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." When we begin to look at this passage, we've used verse 19 here at Emmanuel to define what a disciple is. A disciple is, first of all, a person who has decided to follow Jesus. That's where it all begins. Secondly, a person is a disciple that is being transformed by Jesus. Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men," not "you will become," but he's going to transform them. He's going to change them. And then a disciple is one who has gone on mission with Jesus. Today we're going to be talking about going on mission with Jesus. You may say, "Well, what in the world? I know this passage talks about fishing and fishermen, but how does this really have anything to do?" I want to tell you, it is an analogy that carries over not only from Jesus' day, but well into our day. Fishing happens a lot of different ways all over the world, different means. There are people that catch fish in some ways that you cannot believe. If you don't believe that, go on YouTube and look at some of the videos, and I promise you will find people catching fish in ways that you never dreamed about, but it works very well for them. A lot of it has to do with them using what they have. In this passage, Jesus saw some men by the Sea of Galilee, casting a net. It was probably a net
like this, not made out of modern materials, something more crude, but it was a net that they would cast, and when it's cast, it opens up into a circle, and as it falls into the water, the weights on the outer edges carry it down, and then the fisherman begins to draw that net, and as he draws the net, the bottom comes in and encloses the fish that are caught, and then they pull the fish in. It can be very effective if fish are schooling. When I used to fish in South Louisiana, when the shrimp factories were working and processing, we would go to where they would pump out the shrimp holes and everything, because the mullet would gather up so thick you could see the water boiling, and we used that for crab bait. And so you could cast a net. That net has actually been so full of fish that I couldn't pull it into the boat. I'd have to open it to release some to get it to a point that I could lift it to get it back in the boat. I knew that it would do that because I knew the fish were there schooling. Doesn't work so well if they're not schooling. You might get one or two here or there. You also learn in using it that there is technique to it. I want to tell you, there have been a few times I was glad somebody didn't have a camera around to be able to catch me when I was casting that net. One time in particular, I remember throwing that net. They were schooling so bad. I said, oh, I'm going to get everything I need in one cast. I was so excited. I was up on the front end of the boat, and I cast that net, and my feet went completely out from under me, and down in the boat I went. Fortunately, it didn't result in a trip to the emergency room, but it did result in a problem. You see, you would generally, when you were fishing for mullet like that, let the net hit and immediately start to draw, because the mullet were not the only things there feeding. Underneath the mullet, the catfish had gathered in. See, we were in brackish water. If you ever caught a catfish in a net, it's a hard thing to get catfish out of a net. But if you let the net go all the way to the bottom, guess what you got? A load of mullet mixed in with catfish that had the net in a mess. Well, enough about that. But here's the thing. The first thing that I want you to know about fishermen is fishermen are intentional. When we talk about somebody going fishing, and Jesus said, I'm going to make you to be a fisher of men, fishermen are very intentional in what they do. In other words, they don't just accidentally get up and find fish in their driveway in the morning unless it's flooding. And we have had some instances of that around here. But generally somebody loads up the car, they get the bait, they get their poles, they get the boat if they're going to use a boat, or the kayak if they're going to use a kayak. And there's intentionality in all of that. It doesn't just happen. I have been out on occasion fishing with some of you men, but I noticed that normally I don't see you riding around town with your boat in tow every day behind your vehicle. That's because you're not going fishing that day. But on the day that you are, guess what? You're intentional about going out. I'm hooking the boat up. And usually when fishermen go fishing, unless they're like me, I'm glad to catch pretty much any fish. I just like having something to pull on the line. But they're intentional about what they're trying to catch, whether they're trying to catch bass or crappie or bream or catfish. And so they intentionally pick the gear that they have. For example, if you were going after catfish, this rod would be a good choice, because it's a little bit stiffer. It's got a little heavier reel on it. And you can take that and you can use it for catfish. If you were going after bass, this would be a good choice because it's able to cast. It's a lot lighter. You're not going to be casting for catfish near as much. But if you're after crappie or bream, small fish, then this one would be a good choice because it's light and you can use it flexibly and reach out a long ways to put a jig down. You make your choices based on what you're trying to catch. There's a large degree of intentionality in what happens. I want you to understand that when Jesus calls us to be fishers of men, He calls us to be intentional in what we're doing. When he calls us to be fishers of men, when he calls us to go out and make disciples, it's not something that he suggests would be nice if we do it. It's actually something that he's calling us to. It's something he expects of us. In the Great Commission, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have taught you. When we begin to look at this and we begin to understand that fishing is something that's done intentionally, then it kind of changes things when we're fishing for men. When you go fishing, the second thing, you see, when we look at this is being intentional. In 1 Corinthians 9, 18 through 23, Paul talked about this intentionality. He says, what then? Let me get my right verse here. What then is my reward? I've got the wrong passage here saved. I am free from all. Paul, in the passage there in Corinthians, if you went on down, talks about being a man that is free, but he's giving up his freedom that he might reach all the different people. He talks about being like a Jew with the Jews. He talks about not being under the law with those who are not under the law. He talks about being with those that are weak and becoming weak. And he says, I do all of these things. I become all things to all men that I might reach more. And he says the point of all of it is, what is he reaching them with? He's reaching them with the gospel. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. That I may share with them in its blessing. So when we talk about becoming fishers of men, I want you to understand that intentionally what we're looking for, we're looking to be on mission with Jesus, because Jesus came and died on the cross so that we would be able to find salvation, because he paid the price for our sins, and our goal is to get the gospel before men. Get the gospel before men. You see, if we do so many things, if we only involve ourselves in social ministry, and I want you to understand, I think that there are social ministries that are good things, but I want you to also understand that is not the primary mission of the church. The primary mission of the church is to spread the gospel throughout the world and lead people to faith in Jesus Christ. The social ministries that we do ought to be an avenue to bring people to a place to share the gospel with them. And so we are going to be intentional in what we're doing. But here's another thing. Fishermen go where the fish are. Have you ever been fishing and not caught anything? You ever done that? You know, it wouldn't be called fishing if you caught every time you go. It'd be, I'm going catching. But, you know, if you think about that, we go fishing because we are going to go out and we're going to try to catch fish. But listen, somebody that has been fishing realizes that even though there's a lot of water out there, the fish aren't everywhere. Now, some people would argue a little bit about that and say, well, I could shock and I could get fish to come up. I guarantee you, if you shock in certain places, you'll have a lot more come up than you will if you go in other places, because fish tend to congregate around certain features that are on the bottom. They have things that they are drawn to. And so a fisherman goes where the fish are. Now think about that for just a moment. This week on Thursday night, we're going to have an opportunity to go where the fish are. What do you mean, Brother Eddie? We're going to be right here on campus. Yeah, but we know where the fish are going. We know that on Thursday night of this week that there are going to be hundreds of kids that are going to be out trick-or-treating. Do you have any doubt about that? All right, so if you're fishing for men, what does that tell you? Here's a place where there's going to be a large group gathered up, and we know how to get their attention to come to a certain place. You may have looked That's not your traditional bait. I don't know that it'll catch a crappie or a brim or a bass, but let me tell you on Thursday night what it will catch. It'll catch a young'un. It sure will. I mean, you may say, well, Brother Eddie, that's kind of playing dirty. Now, Jesus is the one who said he'd make us fishers of men, not me. I'm doing what Jesus said. I'm doing what Paul said. He says, I've become all things to all men that I might win some. And so, yes, absolutely, on Thursday, we've got enough candy to be able to send some kids into a sugar coma, and they're going to come just for the candy. But guess what? We're going to give them more. We're going to give them more. But now we're talking about our bus ministry. We're looking at it. Thank goodness we've got somebody that responded to the call for leadership. Do you know when we shut that down, it was never because we didn't think it was a good idea. It was never because the pastors sat around and said, you know, we just don't want to do this. It was because we didn't have enough people who were committed and interested in it to make it happen. We always have believed in it. But now we feel like God's put it on our heart again. And God confirmed that by putting it on Kim's heart. And he's confirmed that because we know that there are already others who've said, I'm interested, I'm on board. You say, well, Brother Eddie, what does that have to do with this? When you take that bus out, you're going where the fish are. You see, there's a lot of kids that, like Kim said, don't have parents that are going to bring them to church. There are a lot of kids that may not ever have an opportunity to know Jesus Christ if somebody doesn't go where they are, looking for them. Now, I know, I've heard some of the conversations before. Boy, you know what? Those kids can be rowdy. You know what? Those kids can be a handful. You know what? Those kids are messy. Now, wait a minute. Some of you are fishermen, right? You really like to fish, don't you? When you get a fish, what do you want it to do? You want it to fight. You're looking for that fight that's going to come with it. And sometimes they're going to give you trouble. You know, one of the greatest catches I ever made was when I was out on Lake Pontchartrain and I caught my first Jack Crevel. But you know what he did? He swam and he wrapped himself, the line, around the trolling motor about four times. You know what I had to do? And I'm going to tell you, for a fat man, this is difficult. And in those days, I was a lot bigger than I am now. I had to lay down on my belly on the side of that boat and pass my rod back and forth under there. And every time I would pass it, he would pass. And so as soon as I was wrapping, he was, until finally I got quick enough that I got it unwrapped. Do you know what? Man, that was a lot of trouble. But do you know, there was nobody there to take a picture, but if they had, there was a grin on my face from ear to ear when I got that fish in the boat. Do you know what? When you get one of those rowdy kids and you've spent all that time and you've wrangled and you've wrestled with them and you finally see them come to know Jesus, guess what? There's going to be a grin on your face from ear to ear. I've heard testimonies of it. Juan Venedidez, and I don't know if I got that name exactly right, but listen, Juan is in college now. I heard testimony after testimony about how difficult Juan was when he first got on that bus. I heard some folks say they were ready to kill him. They were ready to put him off. But you know that as Juan grew, he became a believer. As Juan was moving up through high school, he became a leader in the youth. He went on mission trips, even served as a translator on some of the trips that we had, and now is still working as he's been in college, has spent some of his summers working at youth camps. But somebody had to wrestle with him to get it to that point. So yeah, it's trouble. It's a problem. But if you're being intentional and you understand what you're looking for, going out there where they're at is essential. Because that wouldn't have happened if there wasn't the bus. This week, we're going to have some opportunity to have some people on campus here that wouldn't be here if it weren't for the candy. But we're going to seek to give them more. Can I tell you that probably some of those junior high kids that are going to get on that bus, do you know what it's like? This is what has been described to me. Chris, you tell me if this is accurate. You're able to tell me too. You know, the high schoolers, they get old enough, they got driver's license, so they got some freedom. But those poor middle schoolers that are just old enough to be in the youth, they don't have wheels and they don't have license yet, and they're just looking for a way to get out of the house. They're just any way they can go. And so they see that bus, and absolutely, they're going to jump on that bus. They look at, you know what, David Muirhead's going to be over there with his team. There's going to be others, Roger Massey, some of those people. They're going to be cooking, and they're going to say, you know what, there's going to be food over there. There's going to be some of those guys. Chris told me that the overwhelming majority of the youth right now are girls. I want you to know what that's going to do. That's going to attract guys. There's going to be some guys that come just because there are girls. I see some people shaking their head. You remember? You remember? But it happens because we go. We go. And they come, and yes, they come with all the wrong reasons, but as they come, we have an opportunity to give them more than they are looking for. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20, in case you're wondering, and you're thinking, well, this going, is it really necessary? Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So I want you to understand that going is not optional. We've been commanded to go. You see, if we don't go, here's what fishing becomes like. Have you ever just, the only place you had to go fishing was just a small pond that didn't have any way of getting new life? You see, that's kind of what it is if we just expect people to come into the church and all the fishing that we do. What you expect of fishing is when the preacher stands up on Sunday morning and he gives an invitation. I want to tell you, I'm glad to receive whoever comes. But there's some of you that I see every Sunday. There's some of you that placed your faith in Jesus a long time ago. You've been caught. What you going to do about it? You see, because once we've been caught, the Lord wants us to go fishing. And we're not ever going to catch more fish if the only pond we fish in is the pond where everybody has already come to know Jesus, or where everybody that's here that thinks they know Jesus has become so inoculated that they cannot be reached. We have to have the Holy Spirit working to break through in those that are here and in those that are outside. But to get those that are outside, guess what? We got to go outside. We ought to hang a door sign right outside there that says the mission field starts here. We're going to go this next year. We're going to go to South America. We've got teams that are going to go to Africa. We've got a team, I think, that's getting ready to go to New Orleans. We've got people that are going. But I want you to know the going doesn't always have to be off somewhere. That can be translated as you go. So what that means, as you're going about your daily business, guess what Jesus is wanting you to do? He's wanting you to be fishing. You say, but Brother Eddie, I thought you said that when we go fishing, it's intentional. Well, sometimes opportunities present themselves, and they created some things way back just for that. How many of you are old enough that you remember the commercial for the pocket fisherman? The little fishing rod that you could just put, it's about that long and you could cast it. I can remember seeing people fishing with it. I mean, that is so you can stick it in the car just in case you have the opportunity. If you go to Bass Pro Shop, you'll see that they've got these little rods that break down into nice cases and you can put them. And so your boss will think that you're bringing in your briefcase, but what you're actually doing is you're taking your fishing rod just in case. Because you're really a fisherman and you like to fish. Yes, fishermen are intentional and fishermen go where the fish are. But fishermen are also persistent. They're some of the most persistent people that I've ever known. As a matter of fact, that's one reason that my wife doesn't like to go fishing with me. Because my attitude, once I get started fishing, they're not biting, they will in a minute. Oh, they will in a minute. Oh, they will in a minute. I've been known to fish for 24 hours straight. Matter of fact, one of our last trips that we took, I do fish from a kayak. And we went down and we camped at the reservoir in Jackson. And I put my kayak in the water at about 7 o'clock in the evening there at the spillway. I came off of the water at 3 in the morning. Because every now and then one would bite. You know, it wasn't a steady action, but enough that you'd say, they're going to bite in a minute. Fishermen are persistent. How many of you can attest to that? True fishermen, they're going to look for the opportunity, and then they're going to keep going. Just because they have a bad day and they don't catch on that day, that doesn't say, I'm going to give up fishing. I'm not ever going to do this again. That's not even in their vocabulary. Just didn't catch them today. Matter of fact, it's led to the expression, a bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. And so, and you know what? It's relaxing sometimes just to be able to get out and fish. So fishermen are persistent. But fishermen use different approaches. You see, these baskets right here, these are actually crab baskets. You put them on the bottom because crab spend a lot of time on the bottom, and usually the preferred bait is a chicken neck. Oh, listen, you can use all kinds of things to attract fish. Chicken necks. You tie that chicken neck. You see, I've got a little. You use what you can find. That's a bathroom hanger that you hang your curtains on for your shower. You know what? You can work that through a chicken neck and it'll stay there. You do that for crabs. You wouldn't do that for catfish or bass. If you're trying to catch catfish or bass that way, guess what? You're going hungry because you're not going to catch anything. In the same way, if you're fishing for catfish with a rod and reel, usually you're going to fish on the bottom because a lot of times that's where they are. Now, you fish other ways at other times. For example, the last time that I went brim fishing with this little rod, guess what? I kept catching on crickets, and crickets are the preferred bait for brim, but all of a sudden the catfish showed up and the catfish kept eating my crickets. Do you know what I did? I put those catfish in the cooler. I did not throw them back because they were not what I went after. You see, sometimes God allows us to be fishing and we think we're going one direction, but guess what he does? We hook something going another direction and we get the opportunity to go somewhere we never thought we were going. We get to see what God's going to do. Fishermen are persistent and they use different approaches. And I want you to understand that that's what we're doing here. What we're going to do here on October the 31st is a one-time-a-year event because of what October 31st is. It gives us an opportunity that isn't there a lot of the year. That's just like you know that there are different times and different places that you need to be fishing. The man who taught me how to fish commercially for crabs taught me something. He had a notebook. It went back for years. You know what it did? It had the date, and it had the time, and it had the catch, and it had the location. Because he understood that the crabs moved during different parts of the year at different places. And so he could look back in his notebook, and he could see last year where the crabs were at this time. And guess what? A lot of times that helped him to get where the crab were this time. Because you got your traps out, you've been catching, all of a sudden you quit. What's happened? They've moved. Different methods, different times, different approaches. When we come out here Thursday evening, we're going to have an opportunity that's only going to last for a few hours. If you've ever really fished, you know what that's what it's like when the bite's on. You know that you've got a limited time that you're going to be able to do something. And so we're going to use that time. But here's the thing. Fishermen cannot fish without permission. You ever been fishing somewhere you shouldn't have been? You wondering if we've got permission? You remember what Jesus said there in Matthew 28? All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Listen, we got permission from the one who has the ultimate authority. He says, go fishing. As a matter of fact, he doesn't invite us to go fishing. He commands us to go fishing. But you know, so we don't have to worry about that. We've got that covered. But here's the other thing. Fishermen can't make fish bite. If they could, I don't think any of y'all would have held up your hand a while ago when I said, have you ever gone fishing and not caught anything? Jesus said it like this in John 15:5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. And listen, I want you to know, we can buy all the candy. We can decorate all the cars. We can know the timing. We can set everything just right, but if the Lord doesn't help us, there's not a thing in the world we can do that's going to be productive. And so we're dependent on Him. We're dependent on Him for what happens. Now you may be sitting here and you may be saying, Brother Eddie, I stink at fishing. Brother Eddie, I don't fish. Well, let me describe to you how this fishing trip's going to work. Let me draw a picture for you, and I'm going to ask for those that are going to be working that have volunteered to meet me down here for just a moment after church to talk a little more about it. But so far what it looks like, we've got about 30 cars, and we're going to take those cars and we're going to put them in a circle around this drive out here. Now, as we do that, then we're going to distribute candy. We're going to put out the bait. You know what? That kind of putting out the bait is called chumming. Because you're not really got one hook out right now. You're just trying to get the fish in the area. And so when we get those 30 cars set out there around the drive with the candy in the back, we're just getting the scent in the water so the fish begin to show up. Anybody ever watch the movie Jaws? You see Roy Snyder on the back of that boat throwing that out and using a few expletives about how bad it smells and what have you. But as he does that, guess what happens? The sharks begin to show up. It leads to my favorite movie line. We're going to need a bigger boat. I hope that Thursday night we may discover we need a bigger boat. You know, whenever Peter launched out into the deep when Jesus had finished preaching from his boat and told him to go out and let down his nets, Peter caught such a catch of fish that the Bible says the nets began to tear and the boat began to sink, and he had to signal for his partners to come with another boat and to help him to be able to get all of the fish in. And he had just told Jesus, he said, Jesus, you know, I fished all night and I hadn't caught anything. What he's really saying is, Jesus, there just ain't no need fishing here right now. But he was about to discover that the number one thing that you need for effective fishing is to have Jesus with you. And you see, what we look at, and you may be thinking in your mind, this isn't going to work. It's not got a hope. It's not got a prayer. We've got candy out. Let me describe what that is. You know, sometimes in places they build fish traps. What they do is they create a channel that the fish go in, and they're leading them down to an end. You know what we're doing when we put this out here? We're creating the channel. On this end of the drive is the entrance, and on the other end of the drive is the exit. You say, but Brother Eddie, how does that work? They're just going to come in, they're going to go out. Well, fishermen use strategy. As we have people parking, guess what? We're going to park as many people as far this away as we can. They're going to come out on this end. On this end, if you'll remember a few weeks ago, I shared with you a gospel graphic where that we use an arrow coming down, the cross, the tomb, an arrow going up, and an arrow. When they start in the line, they're going to get a bracelet that's got that on it. They got to have that to be able to go through. When they get through with coming through that channel, down on the other end, we've got a 40-foot sign that's got that gospel graphic on it. And we're going to have a team of people that are going to be there to take small groups and say, could we tell you the story of the bracelet that you're wearing? We want to tell you about Jesus who came down from heaven, who died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, who rose from the grave and ascended back to heaven, but who is coming back one day for those who have trusted him. Do you know him? You see, what we're doing in all of this is we're getting on the mission. Because Jesus never said anything about candy. You know what? Jesus never said a word about Halloween. It didn't even exist back then. But he calls us to be fishers of men. And so we use the means and the methods and the things that we have around us. And the whole thing, what we've done in our fall festivals in the past, is we've had all the stuff set up out here. And we've brought them through here, and we've had good music and had just an opportunity to speak to them. But let me tell you, we didn't have their attention. You know why we didn't have their attention? Because through that door right there, they knew Trunk or Treat was waiting, and what they knew was this was the gateway to the candy. We're turning it around so that we give them what they want, but as they come out, we're able to take just a moment, create a small bottleneck, and share with them what we really want to give to them. Does that make sense? Make the primary thing the primary thing. I would love to see us next year actually go back and have a full fall festival. But what I want to see at the center of that is the gospel. You see, if we can successfully do this year, if we can successfully use this to funnel people out so that we have the opportunity to share the gospel with them, then what we would do next year is we set all of that up. We're going to make sure that this graphic is plastered everywhere, and we will train people to be out and among the crowd and share with people as they have opportunity among the crowd about what their bracelet means. About the gospel. You see, I love a big party. I love having people in. But you know, we had 1,300 people the last time we did that, but we did not have an effective means of follow-up. And if we're not able to follow up, if we're not able to share the gospel effectively, then we're not on task as far as our mission. And so I want to reset. For anybody that may have thought, well, Brother Eddie just stopped that. He didn't like that. That's absolutely not the fact. The fact is, what I've been praying about and looking for is a way to put the gospel at the absolute center of it. We've shared the gospel in the past, but we've not had as effective an opportunity as I think we could have. I'm not saying that what we've done in the past was bad. I'm just saying it can be better. And that's what I'm looking for, is how we can be better.
And so, where does this all start? It starts today by praying. After church today, Robbie, is the plan still to go and mark out? Robbie's going to be out marking out the spacing for the car so we can do that. Somebody was asking yesterday about how much room do I have to decorate. Robbie will be able to give you a better idea of that. And then, as he's doing that, Eric Little, Tommy, they're working on the sign. They're trying to actually make this thing with black light so that it'll almost glow in the dark when we set it up out there on the side of a hay wagon. You know what? We're able to do that, and we're able to get it to where it gets people's attention, and we're able to share the gospel. Then let me tell you, who is doing the work of being on mission with Jesus? Ask yourself that question. Listen, the person who's standing on the front end giving out those bracelets greeting, guess what? You're on mission with Jesus. The person who's standing at the back of a car handing out candy, this decorated car, you're moving them down that line. If a person down on the end gets to share the gospel, oh, don't you make the mistake of thinking, oh, that's the person who's doing the work of the Lord. Let me tell you, this is how the body of the church works. He puts all the parts together, and when we work together, it's not that one person gets to share. It's that this is the culmination of everybody getting to share. Just like in the bus ministry, you're not just riding the bus. You see, what you're doing when you're riding the bus is you're bringing those children and those youth to a place where they have the opportunity to be able to hear the gospel. If you drive that bus, you do all of that. You're on mission with Jesus. If you're out here setting up, if you're out here cleaning up, if you're doing any part of that, you have the opportunity to be on mission with Jesus. If you've gone to the store and you bought a bag of candy, you say that's insignificant. Without that candy, we wouldn't have what we need to draw them here. It makes a difference. Maybe you've never thought about it that way. What I'm trying to help you to see is a picture of what it looks like when the whole church goes fishing together. You see, fishing can be an individual thing. There are times when I like to go fishing by myself. But I'm going to tell you, I have a lot of fun when I go fishing with a group of people too. Sometimes we have more fun like that than we would ever have any other way. The last church that I served, once a year, we had a men's camp out and 2 days of fishing. And let me tell you, we caught fish, but we had a great time. And one of the things we would do, we would try to invite people who didn't know Jesus to come on that fishing trip with us to spend the night. And we would have opportunities to talk about Jesus. We'd go fishing for fish and fishing for men, all at the same time. And guess what? Then when you got them in the boat with you the next day, you had an opportunity to keep the conversations going. And a lot of times you had them in a way that didn't put them on the defensive because they were having fun. You see, sharing the gospel doesn't have to be something that we dread. You see, because Thursday night I plan to have a lot of fun too. But I promise I will not dress as a clown. The first year that we were here, I don't know exactly when this transition occurred, that clowns went from being something that was funny to something that was absolutely scary. And that first year, Cecil Carter loaned me a wig. And I painted up, and I'm going to tell you, I sent children screaming. Even some adults. I won't dress up as a clown, I promise. But you come. You come Thursday night, and you be here. You can still sign up out front. If you haven't signed up,
We could still add cars if we have some more cars that want to serve. And we won't have too much candy. If you want to donate some more candy, we could always use more. Do what you can to be on mission with Jesus. And let Him use you. We can't make the fish bite, but we got permission to go fishing. And I'm confident that if we step out to do what the Lord's called us to do, He'll do His part. It's never lacking on that. So let's begin this morning by praying. There are a few things we need you to pray for. Pray for the workers. Pray for the gospel team. The weather's not looking promising right now. Pray for the weather. We need this rain to either slow down or move on or disappear. God's able to take care of that any way that He chooses. But we want to ask you to join with us in doing that. But let it start this morning with us on our knees, with us praying, saying, God, use us as we become fishers of men. Let us go fishing together. It's a team thing here. Let's pray. Father, we come to You today and we thank You for this time. We thank You for the opportunity to be able to be here this morning. Lord, there is great need around us. There are many people who do not know You that will spend an eternity in hell if they don't come to know Jesus Christ. And our primary mission is to make Him known. And so, Lord, we come asking that You would help us to share the gospel, that even now You would begin to open the hearts of people that are going to be here. And Lord, we pray that as we take this time, as we work together, that You be honored and You be glorified in everything that's said and in everything that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, please stand.